Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Go ahead, Peter.
Okay, cool. Oh, for real this time? I can't see it.
Go ahead, Peter.
Lore Boys here, or as we're called in our native language, the Sax Halil. I am your host. Reads the lore, and I am joined by my co-hosts, likes to tangent, and gets cut off. You guys can figure out which one is which.
I think on likes to tangent. Doing all right today?
Yeah, yeah. What's the I forget? Gets cut off. Okay. Yeah. I was like, likes hit to be cut. I don't know. Yeah.
Hit us with one of your famous tangents, would you?
No, it's fine.
It's when you give a dog an egg, it's supposed to not break it. But I gave my dog an egg today, and it dropped it, and it broke. So.
Does that count?
I don't know if that counts. Does she understand the fragility of it? Does she understand gravity?
You know? Certainly not.
Is she as smart as Sir Isaac Newton?
I haven't seen her scribbling any equations yet, so we can't be sure. Yeah. But yeah.
You ever hit her in the head with an apple?
Yeah, all the time. Well, twice a day, whether she needs it or not.
It keeps the doctor away.
Yeah. An apple, it's unclear on how you're supposed to use the apple. You just need one a day in some capacity.
Right.
To keep doctors away. Ethan wet my whistle for the Elder Scrolls lore a couple of weeks ago when we did an intro to the Deidre 101. So I figured that I'd, you know, just cover some more Elder Scrolls lore this week. And I want to cover specifically one of the other fantasy races in the series. Back in 2018, I did the Dwemer, which are the dwarves. And now this time, as you see by the title, I'm going to be doing the Argonian, who are a race of lizard men. Now we've all played Elder Scrolls, obviously. Have you guys ever rolled an Argonian?
Yeah. So the first time, Oblivion was the first game that I played. When you're trying to get into the Mages University, the University of Magic, you have to complete a different quest for each town's local mage guild chapter. And one of them is to go to the bottom of a well and retrieve a ring for a guy, but it's like a cursed ring that adds like 100 pounds to your inventory or something like that. Oof. And as a child, I didn't know that that's what it was doing. I just thought my character was glitching out and kept drowning at the bottom of the well. So I got so frustrated that I rolled an Argonian who could breathe underwater and went to that quest so I could live underwater and figure it out, basically. That was the first Argonian I ever rolled.
That's crazy. I did in Elder Scrolls Online because I like the healer class usually when doing like group content, and there whatever the racial was for Argonians, there was like a big buff to healing. I think there was an AoE heal they got as a racial or something, but that was like the healing class. That's why I played them, the best race to be healing class. Yeah.
Every time we do this, I'm always just like, God, I really should just try ESO at some point. It always goes on sale for like $6. And it's just like, I'm just worried that I'm going to hate it. But like, I know you can travel all around Tamriel, and I would love to see some of these places. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so when I first played Oblivion on my friend's 360, again, in 2006, like when it was new, I made an Argonian, and they've always been my race of choice for a first playthrough. Although, again, for me, it was definitely a crutch, because the water breathing, the poison, and the disease resistance always saved my ass when I was still learning like to play video games, because I didn't play on PC that much. And pre-Skyrim, disease and poison were like legitimately dangerous. Like they were threats to your character. Like,
yeah,
if you got bit by a rat, you would get like a debilitating illness that like straight up fucked your character, unless you got it cured. Whereas, I mean, like, yeah,
again, an experience with Oblivion where Because you just like, it'll say like in the top corner, like you have contracted ataxia or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And then, like it gives you that one warning. And then as a child, you're like, I don't know what that is. And you just go on with your day. Yeah. And then at some point you open your inventory, you look at magic effects affecting me. And it's like, oh yeah, you have a 60% damage debuff on you for the past 3 months in game, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, why did it get so hard all of a sudden?
As a 25-year-old man, I just didn't realize I had the vampire disease in Skyrim. And I was getting so annoyed. Like, why is this happening to me?
I had the same problem in Oblivion. Is I ended up, again, just like that tiny little notification. Just like you've got, whatever, paraplegic hemophilia, whatever the fuck it's called. The like precursor disease to the vampirism because a vampire touched me. And then all of a sudden, and again in Oblivion, like you will burn to death in the day.
Yeah.
Whereas in Skyrim, it's just a debuff. Like, it's whatever, your health doesn't regenerate or something. But, like, the sun will fucking kill you as a vampire in Oblivion.
Yeah.
And but also, you are so strong. So, like, most of my first playthrough of Oblivion, I was a lizard vampire because I had no idea how to cure it. The quest takes so goddamn long.
Yeah, it's, like, a crazy, crazy quest line, too.
Yeah, because I got it so early, too. Like, you need grand soul gems, which don't enter the loot table until you're, like, level 30. And I got I caught vampirism when I was, like, level 6. It was like the entire game I had no idea what to do.
Is Oblivion the one where like Skyrim too, you level up by using abilities, but like Oblivion you just like jump over and over again until you can jump over houses?
I mean, not that like you can bust, you can like break the jumping in Morrowind because it's a much more jankier game, but like athletics or acrobatics or both is basically just passive levels from jogging.
There's boots in Morrowind, which I haven't really played it, so I don't know this from experience, but I know this anecdotally. There's boots that you can find this guy who just has like two broken legs, and if you leave his boots and put them on, you jump, but you just like jump up above the clouds and then you fall and you die.
Yeah. it's right at the beginning.
The guy just had magic boots, which just sent him into the sky, and you can just like put them on and recreate that, basically.
That's great.
So yeah, now I may have mentioned this in the past. Oblivion is the game that I actually like started to learn how to use WASD, because like prior to Oblivion, I'd probably only played like 5 or 6 PC games and would rebind everything to the arrow keys. So I would play with my hands like offset on the keyboard, because MechWarrior 3, because it was a sim and like meant for a joystick, you could only increase your throttle with the arrow keys, and the zoom was like num zero, so I was always like, I would rebind normal games to have MechWarrior 3 controls.
Man.
up until Oblivion, where I was like, no, I'm gonna learn how to do this properly.
it's like a lot better over there on the left side, I feel like.
Was it? Yeah. I mean, there's some ESDF people out there who talk pretty strong game.
I can see how that works. I would never.
I Small do TALV. I got really big hands.
Like you're like a marionette or like a puppeteer, basically. Yeah.
He's friggin' ET.
So the Argonians, like I mentioned before, are a race of lizard people with a few other like kind of swamp animal traits all thrown in for good measure. They lay eggs, they can breathe underwater, and they're Democrats.
Yeah, and they have sex with trees.
Yeah, not quite, but sort of. they're native to the southeastern province of Tamriel, known as the Black Marsh. If you asked an elf, they would... So that's if you asked a human. If you asked an elf, they would call it Argonia. And if you asked an Argonian, they wouldn't actually be able to answer. They would just furrow their gross reptilian brow in confusion. Because they don't actually have a name for their homeland. Has been referred to...
I thought you were going to say, like, they didn't understand how, like, places worked, and they just, like,
oh, no. No,
they just didn't understand, like, geography, or...
No, they just didn't name it. It's been referred to in their language of Jel, which is J-E-L, as Kronka Tathith, which, like, basically roughly translates to the everything egg, so, but otherwise, it's just, like...
I always get that at breakfast, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, just give me an everything egg. Oh, yeah, no problem, sir. Go to Tim Hortons.
You know what they say about making an everything omelet? You got to break a few everything eggs.
It's like an eggshell that you crack open and there's like green pepper pre-cut inside of it. I love this everything egg omelet kit. So, and also like Loreboy's canon, I guess, without a name for their province, you could assume the Argonians do not have a postal service, so they cannot communicate via mail, because where do you put your address?
Yeah, right?
Right?
Can we submit potential names? I vote we call it Lorbonia.
Yeah, all right, that's pretty good. I like that one. We could call it Crumb Guzzler.
I don't think I could beat either of those. Those are good.
The Black Marsh is home to a lot of animals you'd expect in kind of a southern swampy environment. Other reptiles, flying jellyfish, like walking fish, flesh-eating insects, and Cajun people. For the Argonian, however, I don't know if it's Argonian or Argonians, so I will alternate randomly between the two.
Argonianites.
Argoniodes.
Argonians.
Octopodes. Yeah, Argonopodes. The most important entity in the marsh, however, so there's like a bunch of wildlife, the most important thing in the Black Marsh are the Hist. We mentioned these have been passively mentioned on a bunch of episodes because they are very, very important characters, in quotes, basically. The Hist are a group of spore-bearing trees that the Argonians claim are both sentient and the original inhabitants of Tamriel. Now, this is, like, it's an Argonian claim, but, like, it's almost certainly true. It is just, like, you know, it's basically like the Imperials are just like, hello, we're Rome. We will be making your decisions from now on and disregarding your mythology sort of shit. Like,
yeah.
Which is, like, yes, you're Christians now. Thank God.
Black Marsh is a place in Diablo 2 Act 1 as well, where you can find the tower with the Countess in it. Yeah.
Yep. I bet you there was some places in England back in the Middle Ages that people just referred to as Black Marsh.
Yeah, almost certainly anymore. All those peat bogs in Scotland.
Yeah. I will say I find it.
Sorry. Are those people's names? Peat bog and anymore? Like,
yeah.
Yes. They're married. It's anymore. Anymore married peat bog.
And Marsha or something. Yeah.
Yeah, I will say, like, reptile races in a lot of fantasy too are so often like the older ones, because dinosaurs in like our real world comparison, right? Which, like, if the asteroid never came, you know, there would probably be some different evolutions of lizards roaming the earth, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it would probably be because some species of dinosaur did evolve into birds, obviously. But, like, mammals, without the mass extinction event, like, mammals really probably never would have gotten the chance to take over, because we were, like, shrews at first. Exactly. And it's just, like, the large animals on Earth were gone, so then they could be replaced.
And we still have that deep fear of lizards and stuff. Like, if you put a cucumber behind a Khajiit, it'll jump because it'll think it's an Argonian.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's an Argonian, exactly. I mean, I still have the urge to sleep in a burrow made of dried leaves, like, just like my shrew ancestors, right?
Yeah, every day.
When the snow falls, I try and sleep for 6 to 8 months sometimes.
this is the original inhabitants thing, or like the fact that they're sentient is like referred to as an Argonian claim. It is 100% certain that the Hist are sentient and also like a very ancient race. The Hist are much more like a fungus, not so much like a plant. Because they propagate with spores instead of seeds or fruit or flowers. And they're also connected via, like, a gigantic underground network of roots. There is or was a gigantic, like, mushroom network somewhere. Like, I saw a YouTube thumbnail about it and never watched it. But I had read somewhere as well, like, oh, yeah, this is technically the largest organism on Earth right now. Because it's, like, a full square kilometer of one mushroom, where all the roots are connected underneath the ground. So it's like, that is currently the largest thing on the planet.
Yeah, there's, like, they're called like superclusters, supercluster fungi or something like that.
Yeah.
But like there's a couple different locations on Earth that have them, and they're like the largest living organisms on Earth, basically.
Yeah.
Because they're like hundreds of kilometers square. I think under either Yellowstone or Yosemite, I think Yellowstone, like basically all of Yellowstone has one giant fungal colony underneath it.
That's what makes the stone so yellow.
Exactly. Yeah. There is a documentary on Netflix called Fantastic Fungi, I think. which is pretty interesting. Like, I have some gripes about it as a documentary, but it talks about this network of, so basically, like, trees themselves, like real world trees, are connected by fungus, this type of fungus called mycelium, which serves to, like, trees can communicate with each other, where if if there's, like, logging happening at one end of a forest, trees at the other end of the forest will start trying to pollinate more and start trying to, like, germinate more because they know that something's happening at the other end.
It's how everybody gets horny before the apocalypse.
Exactly. Yeah, shared libido. But it's said that the trees communicate, or it's theorized that the trees communicate via this fungal network, which serves kind of like a neural network, basically.
That's interesting. Cool. Cool. I was, one of the first things I heard when I, like, left my apartment after the pandemic and I, like, went far away, there was, like, a bunch of girls sitting out on a blanket in a park near where we live, and they're like, did you know vegetables can feel pain? So that it's not actually vegan to eat vegetables. Like, it must be the neural networks, you know, they're telling each other about it.
Yeah.
I love how, I love how the moment you left... the moment you left your house after, like, kind of as the pandemic was cooling off, it's just like, oh yeah, there is just, like, brain rot on the internet, and this poor girl has just been sat in front of it for 8 months.
Yeah. And we've all got our own brain rot from the pandemic. Mine wasn't about veganism.
The most damaging fungal cluster is the fiber optic cables that connect us all.
Yeah.
The FI stands for fungi.
Fungi. Yeah. Sorry, truffles are so valuable. Do we use them to make internet cables?
Yeah. Hey, just pigs hunting internet, you know?
Yeah. Pigs hunting the internet.
I was watching a lot of cooking shows, and anytime you get fancy enough with cooking, they just put truffles and caviar. And, like, that's like... Yeah. Is it just because it's valuable, or do they taste way better than everything? I've never had...
I don't know. I've never had either one. I mean, I've had roe in sushi, which is good. I don't know what the difference between, like... I know, like, beluga caviar is wildly expensive, but... We're getting off topic here.
Super off topic.
Caviar is typically sturgeon, actually.
Yes. Yeah.
But caviar, just like lobster, used to be peasant food. Until, like, the royalty one day decided, like... No, this is, like, difficult to obtain, so we're going to, like, control the supply of it, and we're just going to buy it all.
Huh. Kale was just decorative, like, parsley or whatever.
Garnish,
like,
You just wait. The next thing that the royalty is going to think is just, like, the height of luxury now is going to be, like, chicken tendies or something. And then
hot dogs.
Like, six, yeah, like, exactly. Like two steamed hot dogs is going to be $11 now instead of 99 cents.
What is it going to take to convince Jeff Bezos that lead paint chips are actually a delicacy?
It's like off a wall. Anyway,
he has to go to a poor person's house to procure it. You know what I mean? Like, he's not going to have lead paint in his house.
Right. This is actually a pretty good segue, because speaking of powerful entities that are totally disconnected, not all Hist are physically connected to the network. One Hist made a deal with the Diedrich Prince Moleg Bal and moved to his plane of oblivion, the Cold Harbor, with its tribe of Argonian worshippers. So this happened at some point in history.
And the Hist are the talking trees or the fungus? I forgot.
The psychic trees. They're basically like a fungal tree in my head. That's Loreboy's canon.
Right.
Because they do not have seeds or fruit or flowers. They produce spores.
Got it.
They're very basic. Like, they have bark and leaves, and they have different colored flowers. There's one Hist that is, like, dedicated to, like, Argonians that specialize in ice magic, and instead of flowers, it has icicles that grow off of it. Okay. So they're very much, like... You have your themed tree that kind of decides what your job is going to be.
Yeah. Since they, like, reproduce by spores and stuff, it's just Hist. You don't have Hist and Hurst.
Right? Yeah.
Okay, got it.
And allergy season, you can still take an antihistamine, and it really clears out your nose. It clears out your nasal passages.
Yeah.
When take an anti-Hurst.
When you've got, like, two towel racks, it just says Hist and Hurst, and it's just, like, one towel stretched through it.
It's a tree growing towels on it, right?
Exactly. For the Argonians who are going to work in hotels, there exactly. It produces nothing but the damp, warm towels. Yeah, there's yeah. what they can harvest off yeah. with all the thongs.
All the sewage workers, you don't want to know what grows off their tree.
Oh no,
you know.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Or it's a pre TP'd tree, right? Like it's already got the toilet paper on it, like a kid would prank a house.
Pre TP'd. The new settlement in the Cold Harbor became known as Haj Uxith. And Baal's Dromora servants like harvested the Hist's sap and kept it alive using a magical crystal. This was really more of a Faustian bargain because the Hist was kept alive by Molag Bal way, way longer than it should have been, and it ended up kind of suffering in a way.
Magic Rock.
So that girl at the park who was talking about Magic Rock, take a drink.
Yeah.
That girl at the park who was talking about how carrots can feel pain. Not as dumb as I originally thought.
Yeah. I can't say that they don't. Right, but I feel like you're not giving yourself a lot of options as a vegan if you cut out all meat and all vegetables and fruits, you know what I mean?
I mean, yeah. sure they yeah. feel pain, but like, when's the last time a carrot had something interesting to say to you, you know what I mean? Maybe they deserve it.
It's all that prop comedy, it's just too much.
there's a joke for those of us born in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, exactly. So on the subject of trees from Oblivion, the flying city of Umbriel was covered in and maybe completely powered by entirely by a race of sentient trees. These seem to be Hist adjacent. They're not confirmed as Hist. That being said, the realm of the Hist is, again, allegedly a secret plane of Oblivion where the Hist first came from, along with the Elnofe from their own realm. Okay. The Elnofe, from what I recall, are like proto-elves. They're one of the race of Et-Ada, which we mentioned a couple of weeks ago and several other times. So
exactly.
Hist and the Et-Ada are assumed to be the original inhabitants of Nirn, and they came through from wherever.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Cool.
But that's obviously like the Et-Ada would get their own story at some point. Like that's like thousands and thousands of pages of work.
Yeah, we've kind of talked about them a fair amount. Like how the elves view their own creation myth for our last stories is like they were the Et-Adra as opposed to the Daedra, and Et-Adra was kind of bastardized to Et-Ada at some point by someone. Yeah. But Et-Adra just means our ancestors. So they just like their creation myth was the two gods, Padome and Anu, fought, and where Anu's blood fell, the Et-Ada were born. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and there was like some kind of war as well that transpired, where it is theorized that the Hist's home plane or homeland was completely destroyed, which is why they also just like stayed on Nirn for whatever reason. But again, this is all like, you know, ancient history speculation about other dimensions. So
yeah,
that shit's not confirmed, but I like to believe it's true.
Me too.
Umbriel,
the kingdom of Lorbonia.
Yeah, man,
lives in our hearts.
It's because obviously these lizard people are called the Lorbonians, so there you go. Bunch of lizards that look kind of like us. Umbriel came through an Oblivion gate from Clavicus Vile's realm, which is called the Fields of Regret, which is great. This entire plotline, sadly, about Umbriel is from a book, not from a game, and is set between Oblivion and Skyrim. It's in like 4E8 or something like that, whereas Skyrim takes place in like 4E201 on their calendar or whatever. I'm really sad that this is in a book and not in a game, because I really truly... Like, I've been a hater on them for a little while now. I don't think Bethesda, the people who would be making the next Elder Scrolls game, or the people who are, which thankfully is probably like 5-6 years away, I don't think they have the creative capacity to make a game like that anymore, where like the villain is a network of magical trees that control a flying city and, you know, harvest souls to make armies of undead. Because that's really high concept and would really use a lot of the cool lore that they already have. I don't know who the villain of Elder Scrolls 6 is going to be, but if it's probably just like Meryn's Dagon again, like somebody who's just Christian Satan adjacent, I wouldn't be surprised.
There's a lot of... it's been so long that there might be folks on the Skyrim team who have died of old age by now.
Yeah.
It's probably a new generation of people making this game.
I just hope they use all this crazy shit, like, or add more crazy shit, because like Alduin's not a great villain. He's a very cool concept, but like... I love Skyrim, don't get me wrong, but like Oblivion, again, you basically fight Satan, and then Morrowind is a very interesting and weird story sort of thing. So,
yeah, Morrowind's probably, and I haven't played Daggerfall or Arena, but
I've never finished them.
But Morrowind seems to be like the wackiest or zaniest,
yeah,
and kind of most fun in that regard. Which I think I'm with you, Pete. I don't hate that. You know, Rome and then Vikings was like cool, but I would really love to go somewhere like actually like fantasy unique and like whatever. Like, yeah, you can still have your Vikings and your Romans and your, you know, Frenchmen in there, but like give us something cool. Put them in a cool place, you know. Don't put them in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Who's the Tea Party crazy guy from Skyrim?
What if he was Sheogorath?
If he was the villain?
So he's kind of already the antagonist of the Shivering Isles, the Oblivion expansion.
Right. Okay.
So if they used him again, it would be kind of a little bit too, you know, played out.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have enough Wabbajacks, is what I'm saying. We've gotten it enough times. Yeah. Anyway, there is a tree in Skyrim called the Sleeping Tree, and it's rumored to have grown from a spore that like drifted off of Umbriel. I would certainly recommend looking up a recap of what happens in this book because it is fucking wild. It's called like the Infernal City or something like that. It's crazy. It's very cool. And I wish it was like kind of more integrated into the game. It's only like rumored to have occurred by the time of Skyrim, which of course takes place like 102 years later. At some point in the distant past, the Hist created the Argonians themselves. They used their magical sap to transform less interesting reptiles into the humanoid people that we know today. The Argonian myth called the Parable of Becoming states that the Hist saw the rocking hot bods of men and elves and created Argonians in their image using animals that we now know as ancestor lizards. You can see an ancestor lizard in ESO or Elder Scrolls Online. It's just a big normal lizard. Wow. There's nothing special about it whatsoever.
Turn an ancestor lizard into an Argonian, you need sap. And I think the ratio of ancient lizards to Argonians is 1 to 40.
Yes.
And then you'll actually get those. That's a maple syrup joke for all of those who don't know how to make maple syrup.
Where you just crack open your everything egg and it's just got like all the maple syrup you need and then all the, yeah. And then just a bunch of lizards.
A good old Canadian omelet is 6 eggs.
Reptile eggs, gotta be.
Yeah, 6 reptile eggs because we're flush with reptiles up here in Canada.
Of course.
Reptile or beaver eggs, a quart of maple syrup, and then Molson X, kind of finish it off, you know?
Yeah.
Beaver eggs. I want to see a beaver egg.
Speaking of which.
They got those scaly tails.
They have bark?
Yeah. It's
a texture.
They chew their way out instead of pecking their way out.
Egg tooth.
Beavers are probably the arch enemies of the Hist.
The Hist, yeah.
Oh, probably, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that was like the ancient war that was fought in the realm of Oblivion? Is when the Beaver Sphere and then the Hist realm like intersected and there was like a war that they lost and the Hist that we have are like refugees from astral beavers.
Maybe that's what happened to the Hist dimension, right?
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's just, you know, somebody was visiting, like in The Simpsons where Bart brings a bullfrog to Australia and it's just like, you know, they just took over. There was no predators there.
And no more like running. Some young prankster in the Hist dimension like dumped the beaver out of his backpack into a fountain and it just ruined the ecosystem. Yeah, yeah.
They're actually really annoying. Like their instincts to stop running water and cut down trees. So like for people settlements, like beavers just fuck shit up, man. They clog all the drains and
I think I've told this story before on the podcast, but like there's farmers who are in the area where I was growing up. Who would like tell us like, yeah, you can ATV on the edges of my field, but if you see any beaver dams, like you gotta pull them apart, basically. So me and a friend of mine used to just pull apart beaver dams whenever we were kids.
Anti-Canadian of you. If you ever ran for office here or like ran for parliament, like that would come up as like a smear commercial from your opponents.
The beavers
like
would just
stock footage.
They would angrily watch from the shore where their eggs are because they didn't want to leave their eggs.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
Well, they can't lay their eggs underwater. That's why they build the dam, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the process of transforming the ancestor lizards into the Argonians we know today may have been slow because there are ancient paintings depicting Argonians who appear to be like a fusion of lizard and tree, which is really cool. And in some cases, more tree than lizard. I don't really get this because if they believe that their ancestor lizards are just these normal lizards, it's just like, at which point did the Hist add tree, then take that away just to make them back into lizard people?
I mean, maybe like they were just doing it for so long, like they did it with a good handful, and then like those just bred and created the regular lizards over time,
yeah.
Right?
I don't know. Yeah, it's it's like the tree bits are a recessive gene, so it's been bred out of the population.
Yeah, exactly.
Through evolution,
it's when a spore lands directly on an unhatched egg, then it becomes a lizard tree. I think.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. Or like at the end of like a Christmas, the Argonian Christmas, where they're all out like catching spores on their tongue on like a crisp winter morning.
Yeah.
Why is it so much grosser than
like in Chernobyl when they're like all the people are standing on the bridge and just watching the radioactive snowflakes come at them,
it's like baking to death. Argonians remain deeply connected to the Hist and can be communicated with in various cryptic ways, or at least they say they do. In the Argonian language, like I said, it's called Gel. The Hist are referred to differently depending on their age. Hist saplings are referred to as Hist Deek. Mature Hist are called Hist Duka, and old Hist are called Hist Soko, which in the common tongue translates to jailbait, pog, and milf, obviously.
Cool.
We'll get more into these Hists after the break.
Your life.
Welcome back, everybody. Assuming there was an ad there.
Sorry we had to take a break. I was throwing a histy fit.
Hey! The ancient Greeks believed, because it's like the hysterectomy or whatever, the ancient Greeks believed that a woman's period was caused by a tree traveling around inside her body.
Yeah, that's it. The tree wandered around the body.
One tribe of Argonians called the Bright Throats say that their Hist communicate through the wind, so they build wind chimes to receive messages from them. It's like primitive Morse code, I guess, because how do they distinguish between Hist communication and like a breezy afternoon? Like, do they get like clear cryptic visions, like be not afraid shit, and then some days just total gibberish that comes in through like the on the chime network?
Monsoon season is confusing, okay?
Yeah, we have no idea what's happening. Exactly.
The trees they're just yelling for a month, like
our gods have been screaming for a month. This is not a good omen.
No. What is in Morse code? Like,
what is A in Morse code? Dot.
I don't know.
Dot. Dot.
No. Dot. Dot. Dot is S.
Oh yeah, because that dot 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 is SOS.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I would say dash 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 for the O.
Oh yeah. Sorry, I just made them longer. Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Which honestly, dash is kind of long dots if you look at them.
Sure.
They are. Yeah.
And are you?
I guess Samuel Morse would have been an Argonian. Do you think?
Yeah, I think for sure.
Beeps and friends.
Big beard.
Yeah. He was the same tree that hit Isaac Newton on the head gave birth to Samuel Morse.
Oh, there we go. That does make a lot of sense in this context, actually.
This is a smart tree. Smart hist tree.
Yeah, this is a bright hist.
Yeah, yeah. Bright hist and
bright
throated, huh?
Yeah, the bright throats. so they're the Morse code tribes. Other Argonians are spoken to in dreams, which is still a little vague, but definitely like, I don't know, more clear than the wind chime thing, I think.
What does it mean if I dreamed that burly lady shot put me over a fence?
Yeah, like, what happens, like, for teen Argonians where all of their dreams are just, like, the big titty mods from Nexus? And it's just like, I don't know what the Hist is saying to me at all.
I'm confused. Okay?
Yep.
But I'm hard as a tree, let me tell you.
Yeah, I tell you, rock hard. One horrible part of the anatomy. Little cloud comes out.
Oh,
I'm abstaining from this one.
Yeah, so other Argonians are spoken to in dreams. During the Oblivion Crisis in the game Oblivion, the Hist network actually sent out like an unskippable ad to all Argonians who could hear it, and then recalled them back to the Black Marsh to defend the marsh from the Daedric invasion. So, like, post-creation... That's like a quick aside there. So post being created, so now they're no longer tree people. They're very much like the lizard men that we know and love today. Post creation, the Argonians moved into what they call the stone nest period, where they lived in giant step pyramids called Zaneers, or their stone nests, obviously. This part I find a little bit kind of derivative because it does just kind of make them the lizard men from Warhammer.
True. Yeah.
Right. It's just like, yeah, the lizards, they're the Aztecs. Now, like fantasy fiction for some reason.
I mean, the Aztecs and the Mayans had some worship of some like lizardy worship, right? Like,
yeah.
Ouroboros was a giant snake. Quetzalcoatl was a winged serpent. Yeah.
Yeah. The horrible little salamanders behind me are also like have like some mythological thing associated with them.
They deserve it. Like, they shouldn't exist. The axolotls. it's kind of amazing. Yeah.
But like these ancient Argonians are very much the old ones from even like Warhammer 40K or the Lizard Men from AOS, where they've got, you know, like the shield with the kind of certain style of art on it, emblazoned on it, like with feathers on it and the feathered headdress and the sword that's like a club with teeth on the edge and shit like that. So
yeah. A toothy sword.
Yes, exactly. So during this legally distinct period, they were ruled by priest kings called the Niswo. These priests served Sithis, who at the time they called Raj Sithis, and then believed that he was not just a force of destruction, but also the kind of like dark creator god of the universe. This ties the Argonian assassin class, the Shadow Scales, to the Dark Brotherhood, because the Dark Brotherhood also worships Sithis.
Yeah. Who, again, from a lot of creation myths, is believed to be the creation force, one of the creation forces of the universe, but the force of destruction and chaos.
Yeah, well, it's destruction and change. So he, again, like we had talked about earlier, he's a lot like Mehrunes Dagon, because Mehrunes Dagon is the Daedric Prince of destruction and change as well.
Yep.
Yeah. This classical period here kind of came to an end with the Duskfall, which, like much of Argonian history, is kind of hard to understand. That being said, it does mirror the Maya collapse, where like an ancient civilization kind of comes and goes without the influence of colonizers. Because I think it was the Inca who the Spanish encountered in South America, and the Maya had already gone. Like, their civilization had already come and gone by the time Europeans brought over all their germs and guns, basically.
Yeah. Well, the Mayans were born like after the Spanish landed, or they were definitely around when the Spanish landed, the Mayans.
So I Googled it to make sure. I think it was the Inca, where like the Inca was the Central American civilization in the 1400s, because the Mayans, their civilization had already destroyed itself. They were gone, as far as I know.
No, they were supposed to leave in 2012, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, contact period. Yeah, the Mayans were around until right up about 1700, 1697.
Really?
Was like the end of the Mayans.
Because I wanted to Google this.
So they had their classic period, which was 250 to 950.
Right.
And their post-classic, which is 950 to 1539. But they were definitely still around when the Spaniards landed.
Yeah, they did a lot for us. They invented Minecraft. Or Minecraft.
Terrible.
They did a lot of mining for gold.
Yep, they did. It's so nice of them to find all that Spanish gold. It really helped.
Yep.
I had Loreboy's canon that the Dustfall actually rose from an internal conflict among the Daedra, confirming that the Hiss are indeed from Oblivion. However, they like lost the battle, which is why it like wiped the memories of the Argonians. There's very little known about the Duskfall, but their psychic connection to the Hiss. This is very much just like a total fan theory that I wrote yesterday. The idea that the Hiss would have like kind of lost this period of time and then just wiped it from their creation's memories, basically. I would also like to posit that this is why the Argonians don't actually have a word for Daedra either. So along with having no postal service, they do not have a way to refer to the Daedra themselves.
Is the postal service in other civilizations run by the Daedra, perhaps?
I mean, it is one of the great services that the Daedra provide is you know, physical mail.
Just like the real evils of our world, right?
Yeah. The postal mailman.
Yeah.
Argonians have a few quotes regarding the Duskfall, stating that the Hist led the way and that the Hist had revealed the true path. But that's all they really have. They have these kind of like ancient sayings that have persisted throughout history regarding persisted throughout history, rather. Okay. I think it's the correct way to say that.
I like that one.
Considering at least one Hist left to hide in Oblivion and post Duskfall, the culture of the Argonian changed, it wouldn't be too Loreboy's canon to say that the Duskfall was some kind of Hist civil war either, like just in case, right? A lot of this kind of like the older Priest King stuff did kind of persist though, because post Duskfall Argonians got really into Sithis as the god of change and worship, and like began to view time as more cyclical. They began to believe that both the ancient Warhammer Argonians and the men in Myr of Tamriel built stone cities due to a fear of not being remembered. A process which is what the Argonians call Shunate. So current Argonians live in like compostable huts that are all just made of like coffee filters and shit like that, because they see the permanent structures as like, no, please do be not afraid to die. We all return to the Hist eventually, sort of thing. So they build, they don't build stone structures anymore because they are no longer afraid of not being remembered.
They just throw their dead bodies onto a compost pile.
Yeah.
Yeah. their cemeteries is just one big compost heap.
It's a landfill full of like elderly lizards.
Oh man.
And obviously like orange peels and shit like that too. Yeah, like anything compostable.
Orange peels, coffee, Kleenexes, you know, yeah. All that stuff, yeah. Old pizza boxes.
Yeah. Any like more modern sanitary wipes as well, like
Clorox
is making like fully compostable ones in Canada right now. I'm going to skip over a lot of the political stuff that the Argonians did because they were involved,
That's a good idea. You don't want to polarize the listeners with the political stuff.
We're talking politics now, Pete.
I don't want to get too political when we're talking about our psychic lizard people who are controlled by trees.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah. It's just because they were involved in a lot of different wars throughout the centuries, and obviously like Elder Scrolls history is thousands of fucking years, and this is very much like about the Argonians and the Hist as like a race of like sentient beings, and not so much what they did, because they were involved in a bunch of wars. They were enslaved by both the Khymer and the Dunmer, who are the snow and dark elves respectively. There was the Thracian Plague, which was going to be in bad taste now. It's an artificial plague created by a dragon break, which we have an episode about.
Pete, you said we weren't going to get political, man.
I know.
I know we're just speaking the truth here, but geez.
And then obviously when they returned to the Black Marsh during the Oblivion Crisis, they absolutely fucking hosed the Daedra as well. So they managed to defend the Black Marsh. They were kind of the least affected by the Oblivion Crisis.
The Oblivion Crisis, yeah.
Cool. I'd like to move on to their much more like modern culture and biology. Argonians do lay eggs. That is confirmed. They nurture them in pools of Hist sap. And hatchlings are really much more of like a genderless template. And their role and sex are both assigned by the Hist tree. Male and female are kind of impermanent, like kind of just like their homes, which makes sense. And they're referred internally, like within Argonian culture, as life phases. A Hist will magically assign a gender role to a hatchling on their naming day with a power called the Gloor, which is G-L-O-O-R, and which they, in most cases, will take on for the rest of their lives. It's funny because I was baptized Eastern Orthodox, so I have a name day as well, which my grandparents actually remember better than my actual birthday, because it means a lot to them that I have a name day, which is the same as the name day for the Argonians.
There you go.
Is that when they called you Peter, or did you get like a cool
name?
No,
it's based on like Saint Peter. Like all saints have their day, and if you have the same name as them, then that's your name day.
Okay. Did you get? Yeah. But did you get like a oils up and wrestles with men kind of thing, or?
I was an infant, so no.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I thought
like, and like for an example, my sister does not have a name day because her name is Julia, and there is no Saint Julia in.
Okay.
That church apparently
it just goes to.
Your... She's named after the month of July.
You are given the name Peter, and then your name day happens to correlate to the coincidental saint who has a name day.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Makes sense. I thought, and I think Jamie thought as well, that there was a day where you were assigned a name, and that was called your name day, and was a special day for you.
No, no. My parents decided what to name me while I was still in the womb. Thankfully, they weren't just like, no. My grandparents will decide 6 months after he's born.
I thought they were good. They brought you to a great hall. They put a talking hat on you, and they yell, Peter, and then you go with all the Peters.
Take me to a Greek Orthodox church where a screaming hat just berates me.
Yeah, pick some sap. Derived from magic mushrooms, fed it to you.
Yeah,
asked you what you saw and named you Peter.
Right. Yeah,
based on that, right. It means rock.
It does.
Does it?
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
Peter was the rock upon which Jesus built his church.
Whoa. What does Ethan mean?
Strong.
Nice. I think James means like the supplanter or something.
Okay. He was cut off.
Yeah.
he was spoketh over.
Yeah, exactly. Argonians can ask their hist to change their gender at any time. The hist may not always accept. And then a celebration generally ensues, which what we know now about gender reveal parties is basically dooms the planet to be burned to the ground anytime somebody wants to change. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how insufferable the Instagram Argonians must be?
With all their gender reveals?
With all their gender reveal parties. Just like... no dry grass left on the entire continent. It's all been burned away by somebody who had like pink powder inside a cardboard box along with like nitroglycerin.
You got like the busty Argonian maid there who makes herself thick with filters. Is her other name, I think?
Yeah.
Thick with filters. My God. So one of the major events that occurred between Oblivion and Skyrim was when the Ministry of Truth crashed into the Vardenfell. The Vardenfell is the main island of Morrowind. It's where you play the entire game. And in the city of Vivec, there is a rock that it was an asteroid that is being held in place with magic. And they kind of like carved into it and turned it into a prison. At some point, after... Vivec the god disappeared, the Ministry of Truth, somehow retaining all of the kinetic energy that it had when it came down from space, crashed into the Vardenfell and made the volcano at the center of the island erupt, and then obviously killing a bunch of the Dark Elves, which is why the Dark Elves are refugees in Skyrim now, because it is the closest province to where they live.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was a gender reveal party for some boring Argonian, where it's just like I'm gonna crash the Ministry of Truth into this cardboard box with a blue powder.
whatever color the lava is when the volcano erupts is the gender of the baby. Yeah.
Incinerating hundreds of thousands of people in red ash. It's like it's a girl.
It's got to be worth it. It's got to be worth it.
Yeah. The hist also decides what their morphology is going to be like. The morphology of tribes can be different depending on like the hist they live with. Naga Argonians look a lot more like catfish than they do lizards. They have like kind of the big wide kind of rolled mouths with little whiskers on their faces. But it also determines like the color of their scales and like whether they have feathers or spikes or fins or whatever sort of thing.
Yeah. It's like when you go on a date and you're expecting to see a bright neck, but you get a catfish, right?
You do, yeah.
The whole documentary about it.
Yeah. On plenty of lizards. I don't know what the
plenty of scales.com.
Yeah. plenty of hist. Come on.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So prior to laying an egg, two awful, awful naked lizard people need for some reason to presumably have bland but also repulsive sex. Argonians, actually, this is a neat detail that's been included in the games. They don't have belly buttons. They do have the cloaca, which is like the universal reptile and bird hole for shit, piss, and cum. I think that's what the Tool Song Prison Sex is about, actually.
About about cloacas?
No, universal it's not. I mean, old for shit piston.
Yeah, you'd have to, it is what a cloaca is. Lyrics. Yeah. So yeah, Argonians have internal sex organs inside their cloaca. They lay eggs, and again, a neat detail on the models in game is they don't have belly buttons because you don't need a belly button if you live in an egg.
Yeah, you don't have an umbilical cord.
Umbilical cord.
We have an ancient bit about what it means to be a lizard, and cloacas came up, not having ears. Because and mammals have ears.
No belly buttons added to the list if it wasn't there before.
Some Darnell or whoever knows us better than we do, let us know what episode that was on.
I'm kind of hoping that our Argonians actually kind of fuck like birds, where they kind of just like, whatever, mush their parts together for a couple of seconds, and then one of them flies away, and not like fish, where they like pre-lay the eggs and then fertilize them afterwards.
Yeah. Or you do like, the squirt rain.
You, Pete wants to see them. Lore Boys Canon. Pete wants to see two Argonians mashing their bits up together.
Yeah, dude, they're awful. All their horrible damp bits. Just get it going.
It's like a puckering donut hole, and you just like two puckering donuts, and you just rub them together.
Okay, I saw a meme, and I'm not sure if this is real, but we're in the Magic School Bus. They're talking about how fish reproduce, and like they shrink them down to microscopic size, and the kids are all in the little eggs, and then the fish goes by and squirts.
Dude, that is a real episode. At some point, I think like this stuck with me for a long time because it's a very weird concept. Like Carlos, at some point, is like, "Wow, it's just like a car wash." But like they straight up are inside salmon eggs, and then male salmon just come and bust all over an entire classroom of kids, and that is the plot of the episode. That's like the thing you're supposed to learn about.
I should have stayed home today.
Yeah,
it's not weird. It's fish cum, like you know, they're caviar.
Yeah. All those kids. Yeah.
Do pigs make the truffles then? I'm not sure how this works.
Yeah. Does a pig come in the woods?
Yeah. No, I said that Magic School Bus episode where they all get fucked by pigs is way worse than the.
that's the Dark Mirror, whatever that episode.
No, it's the Black Mirror episode of
Black Mirror, which is found in the Black Marsh. Yes.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Argonians refer to sex as egg quickening, so they don't seem like a very romantic thing. Honestly,
that sounds like something you would buy in the 70s for cooking or something.
Yeah. Like why every Argonian housewife needs her carton of egg quickener. Why you just dump this in the pan and breakfast is ready in 30 seconds.
Yeah. Are you tired of everything eggs taking all day to cook? Try new egg quickener by Johnson & Johnson.
Medical company.
Well, they make a bunch of shit. They make like shampoo and Q-tips and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, and baby powder.
I know. Yeah. Okay, is that SC Johnson? Are they related?
Ooh, are they the same Johnson?
Is SC Johnson one of the two Johnsons? SC Johnson is separate, privately held company. Has never had any family or business connection with Johnson & Johnson.
Well,
but that is what I was saying.
Okay, yeah, because then it would be Johnson & Johnson. Yeah.
Unless it was one of the Johnsons, which I thought it might have been.
Yeah, so I guess, like, again, they don't seem very romantic, so after presumably nutting during brief missionary and then giving each other a handshake, the eggs are transferred to a nest called an oopsith.
Peter, why is that not romantic? Sorry, can we pause the episode here?
I suppose I won't yuck anyone's yum. Never mind.
Yeah. Well, my wife and I do it. It's a formal handshake.
I like the little spank on the bottom like a football coach. Okay. So I was
Are you having sex with your football coach?
Nope.
Not recently.
Yeah, exactly. Dara's not a football coach. What?
She's got wide shoulders, though. You gotta admit. Great eyebrows, big shoulders. Yeah.
Every time you're talking to her, she's holding like a piece of paper up in front of her mouth too, so you can't read her lips.
Yeah.
Always dubbed by some other guy. So the hist then kind of guides the development of the hatchling once it's like put in what it once it's put in its uksith nest. Argonian's parents sorry, our Argonian parents do take care of the young. However, it's really the Hiss that truly guides the development. Different tribes have different rituals. The Shadowfen keepers of the shell record everything about a brood, so like height, weight, all that. Their parents, the star sign that they're going to be born under, because the star signs are like actually have like a major effect on the development of somebody in
Elder Scrolls.
In Elder Scrolls, exactly.
And like, our world, too, yeah.
Oh, that's, yeah, yeah. That is correct.
Yeah, your girlfriend just had her Sagittarius birthday, didn't she?
She did, yes, yeah.
It would be such a cancer to forget that it's important in the real world, too, you know?
Yeah, it's a very cancer move of me, you're right. and like,
those Libra cucks. Yeah, or whatever.
Checkmate, Libra tards.
Libra tards.
Sorry. So, like Argonians born under the sign of the thief, 100% become Shadow Scales to serve Sithis as assassins. Like, there's no choice in the matter.
Nice.
Basically.
For them. No choice in the matter. Is it the Hiss that decides, or is it the dang heckin' stars?
I guess the Hiss just, like, follows the stars. The person who does not get to choose is the baby inside that egg.
Okay, that's all that's important.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's like, what if you wanted to be a painter, or like maybe you had like a really cool idea for a business? It's like, no. Because of the time of day, you will be slitting people's throats forever. Yeah. And
let me see what Babby's first job is going to be. It looks like murder.
Murder
is going to be your job. Doesn't pay very well, but
you're going to kill for money. That's
you're going to kill.
Yeah.
Just got to see how the starlight falls through the sheets, or whatever we said in the last episode.
Yeah.
Now get out there and knock him dead. Okay, Slugger. Yeah.
Tiger. Spank on the ass right under the tail.
Yeah.
Above the cloaca, below the tail.
Obviously. I would go on the side of the tail. I think under the tail, I feel like there's nothing good happening down there. But...
Oh yeah, I guess like the football spank for someone with like a big reptilian tail would be just like, go get him, tiger, like on the side where all like the swimming muscles are in the side of the tail.
I think so. Right. Yeah, when I think about spanking Bray. But you got the firm handshake, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be a good one.
Too complicated, the butt slap. Where do I slap? You know?
Yeah. Butt's all under the tail.
The lizard was gonna wear pants. Would it wear it like this or like this?
Okay. It's like one pant like pulled over the tails, like it works fine, whatever.
it's like a tripod pair of pants, just got like a third leg.
if the Argonians just wore pants backwards and didn't zip them up, the tail would fit right through, right?
Yeah, it's true.
Good point. You need a big zipper.
Yeah, you would. Yeah,
my dog recently 5'11" had an ultrasound and her belly's all shaved. And I was thinking of doing that in the winter, just putting on like pants backwards with the tail at the top. But it's a husky; doesn't need to be clothed. Yeah.
Eggs that are the equivalent of stillborn are reabsorbed by the Hiss into their sap, and then Zach Wilde also like sends them out with like every pinch harmonic that he can muster.
You know what pinch harmonics are and you don't play guitar? That's pretty cool.
I had to Google it yesterday because I had heard, because I know that like Stillborn is a Zach Wilde song and it's kind of good.
Okay.
But like the riff is very much just like a very short guitar riff and then like, weep. And I'm just like, I had to Google it to make sure I had the right term, because as someone who was not a musician, I was like, is the thing that Zach Wilde does every 3 seconds called the pinch harmonic? It's like, yes, it is.
Harmonics, when you get it to resonate on like two... Like, you basically hit the middle, so you're, like, getting it to resonate on both sides of the string. So if you, like, hover your fingers super, like, gently over the 12th fret, it'll make a tone that isn't, like... It's all math. It's, like, exactly halfway in the string, exactly a quarter way, and all that stuff. And if pinch harmonic is when you pluck it and you make your thumb do the ring part for it. So it's usually, like, halfway between wherever you're pressing down and however long the string is. And, yeah, that's an overly long explanation for what is really cool in guitar.
It's like, squink!
If
you ever want to make that noise, that's what
you do. Just listen to Stillborn by Black Label Society. You'll figure it out. Don't worry about it. That's where I heard it. And unlike our pathetic human boss babies, Argonians can walk shortly after hatching, and are quickly introduced to pacifiers made of Hissed sap. So they have like a kind of like Hissed amber sort of thing that they have just on the end of a
Give the baby drugs as soon as possible.
Yes, give them their psychic tree sap as quickly as you can.
Yes.
When they come of age, young Argonians have to start stressing about their Chuka Se, which is their maturity ritual. And like, unlike most human human maturity rituals, the Chukusei is both fun and affordable. And those who pass their trial of adulthood are given full membership in their given tribe.
Nice.
Yeah.
What do you know?
Lizard mitzvah.
Yeah. What do they have it to is. Do? Do they have to dance? They have to.
It depends. It depends on the tribe. I did not go through a list of all the different Argonian tribes, but every single one has a different ritual of adulthood. This, I think, is when they're given their gender as well by the Hist, because the challenge would depend on like female Argonians are more adept at magic and like male Argonians are better at combat. So like if you did a trial by combat, it's because the tree told you that you were a boy when you're, I don't know, like fucking 13 years old or some shit.
Right. That's cool.
Yeah. And that's it. That would be the kind of origin and biology of the Argonians from the Elder Scrolls. I have been your host, Peter O'Donohue. You can find our work at Loreboys Podcast on Instagram or theloreboys.com. Loreboys.com/about is all of our socials.
Sweet.
Yeah. Lads?
I'm Ethan Palmer. I'm just mesmerized by right now by something that Jamie just sent me or sent us on the side. Completely distracting. It's like a man covered in goo.
It's honey.
God.
It's a honey, photo yeah. shoot where this man just like covered himself in honey and would like emerge. So the honey would be dripping down. And he's like, he's got a beautiful body and it's all super glistening in honey.
He does look like he's made of glass, which is kind of cool.
But... Yeah. This is what the Argonians look like whenever they emerge from their set.
Yeah.
Is
yeah. Presumably.
He looks like blown glass, actually. You know, like if you've ever seen those like kind of cool, like the like, how they make a marble or whatever, or like with like glass blowers, is kind of what this guy looks like.
So if you wanted to see that, you should get in the Discord. Go to loreboys.com/about and get in the Discord, because I just posted this beautiful man covered in honey in the memes channel, and you too could see it.
With no context. No context. We're taking a vow right now. They're not going to find out why we're talking about this until they listen to the episode
for
on
2 days.
Thanks for listening, everybody. If you like the show, leave us a review, tell your friends, get the word out there. If you want to support the show financially, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys, where we have a couple different tiers of different levels of monetary support that you can offer. But like the other two guys said, really the best support that you can do is to come join the conversations, just hang out, pal around, be a chum, be a pal, and just keep listening to the show.
Spotify Wraps, a lot of people shared, probably upwards of 30 shared their Spotify Wraps with us, like on Discord or on Instagram. That is also like one of the most wonderful things you can do, because I saw the downloads like because our launch day was the day before Spotify Wrapped, where we had like a bunch of downloads, and then everybody started to share that they've been like listening to us for 55,000 minutes all year for some fucking reason.
So
and then we got even more after that. It was like, oh hell yeah, dude. So
Eric, with a K, dude, huge thanks. I think he listened to 191, 192 episodes. It ended up being like 32 real life full 24-hour days in a year. Like same thing with Jameson 69420, who's in the Discord. He had 189 episodes listening in a year. Like crazy numbers, and it honestly, like, it was super rewarding to see that all this work that we put into it, people are consuming it. So
super cool. And our numbers, super cool that you guys like it.
Yeah,
and the numbers went up a lot again. Like just telling your friends about like a show that you like is way better, is like the best thing you can do.
The best thing you can do is that. If you want to support the show financially, like I said, we have Patreon. And if you don't trust Patreon, we do, of course, have Loreboys Prime. And we're really just going to be thanking you guys for hours listened. Everybody who can post a Spotify Wrapped now or at any point in the future, proving that they, in the year, they listen to at least 30 days of nothing but us.
Which is almost our whole library, by the way.
Yeah.
Almost our whole library, yeah.
We will plant a tree in your honor, and Pete will rub his cloaca up against it and fertilize each tree individually. And we're hoping that various star signs and the tree itself will decide what to do with its future and where to grow from here. Basically.
What am I supposed to do now?
Pete asks the tree. Pete tells the tree what he'll bend down and give a little whisper into what he thinks the tree would do good at. Oh, but the tree gets to decide ultimately on its own.
Well, I've got the wind chime with me, and it's like.
you know,
like,
that
no, god damn you.
At the end, whatever you do, just grab whatever branch you can find, give it a firm handshake, and just go on your way.
Yeah.
Dried leaves just like hanging off it. Just like, thank you, sir.
Pete's got his wind chime, but Jamie's got his guitar in the back and he's just doing pinch harmonics. It's very very distracting for the young tree.
And Ethan's got his jeans on backwards.
Yeah. Just throw my tail. And I think that would cost you a lore boys.
Lore boys. Out.
My name's James. An ice cream cone backwards is Enoch Merk Icky. Hi.
My name's Ethan, and Enoch Merk Icky backwards is ice cream cone.
You got an easy one.
My name's Peter. I don't know, that joke really kind of completed its life cycle, so that's it. How do I sound? How do I sound, be a Jamie?
Oh, let's see.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.